for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday afternoon, July the 5th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on an unloving spirit.
We're ready, Jerry. Jerry McGee. Praise the Lord.
You know, the first time I shared was on breaking the power of addictions, and this message is on an unloving spirit. An unloving spirit is the strong man behind all addictions. It's the strong man behind weight gain. It's a spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit of self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, self-mutilation, self-destruction, unforgiveness of self. It's an idolatrous spirit of an image that you have of yourself, of what you think you ought to look like, be like, what you think you need to do to be a success in life. And when you don't perform perfectly, you're angry at yourself. You're bitter at yourself. It's a spirit that causes you to measure yourself by yourself, measure yourself and compare yourself to others. It's idolatrous. And, you know, an idol is not only anything that you allow to control you, but it's also an idea or a picture in your mind. It can be a Buddha you bow down to, or it could be an idea or a picture you have in your mind that you compare yourself with. Each of you have something different. With me, it was an image of petite, because my mother called me a big old stand-up in the road, and I didn't know what that was, but I knew it wasn't petite. So I had this idea or this picture in my mind that to look right or be acceptable, because my parents were very critical of me, then I felt like if I was petite, then I would be loved and accepted. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all the warfare. I thank you for the confusion that's come about. I thank you for people that have fasted all day. I thank you for the huge deliverance that people are going to get. I thank you that your word will go forth like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. I thank you, Lord, that your word is forever settled in heaven, that you watch over your word to perform it. The leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. And I take dominion over every evil spirit, over every spirit of Antichrist. I take dominion over every spirit that would block us from knowing the truth and the truth setting us free. I take dominion over every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. And I forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. And in the name of Jesus, I take dominion over any blocking spirits that would hold this demon in place, that would make us criticize ourselves, hate ourselves, self-doubt, self-rejection, self-hatred. I just bind you in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. You know, an unloving spirit is also a spirit of perfectionism. You may be the biggest slob in the world, or think you're the messiest, slobbiest person. But it's a spirit of perfectionism. Either unconsciously or consciously, I'm trying to do something right so that I'll be loved and accepted. And in whatever area I'm rejected in, that's the image of what I'm comparing myself with. And as I shared Tuesday morning, I believe, when I shared that the thing in me would say fat, 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 fat. And I would be angry at myself. It would discourage me. The only time I would even feel discouraged or depressed was when I would be tormented by this spirit. And about 10 years ago, I was delivered from the nitpicking part of it. An unloving spirit is a demon in you. It's a spirit that you think it's you. And you let it stay because you think that voice is you. And so 10 years ago, I got delivered from the thing that said fat, 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 fat. But I didn't get delivered from all of it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not all delivered from it today. But I, at least, you know, it's the truth that makes you free. When you're aware of that this voice speaking in you is not you, you won't let it stay. But when I realized it was a demon, I'm saying, look, it's not working in me anymore. And I thought I was delivered from it, but I just found a few weeks ago that I wasn't. It's connected to multitudes of fear spirits, fear of rejection, fear of not being loved, fear of not being liked, fear of not being perfect, fear of failure, fear of not having the substance I need to keep me going, fear that I won't get my caffeine, fear that I won't get my food, fear that I won't get my cocaine, my crack, my alcohol, because if I can't get those things, then I can't function and perform. And see, my motive for that, God says, be perfect as you're perfect. He's perfect. Be holy as He's holy. But it's only as you yield to the potter and die to your life that the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ comes through and you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're without understanding." I think the King James says they're not wise. And that's really what we do. We either compare ourselves with what the world thinks we ought to be, or what our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters told us what we ought to be, or somewhere, maybe we had a big brother or a big sister that did everything perfect. Maybe our parents didn't even compare us, and we judged ourselves because we didn't think we measured up to big brother. Sometimes the middle child has the hardest time because he's not the oldest. Or I'm not the baby, I can't do this because I'm too big, and I can't do this because I'm too little. Isaiah 40, verse 18 says, "To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare with Him?" Proverbs 8:11 says, "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her," or with wisdom. So instead of comparing ourselves to the likeness of God and His plan and valuation of me and what I ought to look like, or seeking after His wisdom that's better than gold, then I seek after things to help me perform, and I compare myself. An unloving spirit comes in. Y'all have to forgive this. I've never taught off the computer, but I lost my printer. I left my printer cable at home. And the enemy started trying to get me all frustrated, and I thought, I'm not going to get afraid of that. You know, God, you got something here. If I have to read the whole thing, it's okay. I don't have to be perfect anymore. Hallelujah. I don't have to do everything just right. My dad is always critiquing me, and he'll say, "Now, if I don't tell you, who's going to tell you?" A few weeks ago, I was at a meeting, and so you get a partner. And you tell that partner how precious they are to God and how wonderful they are. So I got a partner, and I was telling them what God said about them. And when they were telling me what God said about me, "Oh, you're so precious, you're this, you're beautiful," you know, just telling me that. And this voice said, "Who do you think you are?" That was my daddy's voice. After I got delivered, the first thing that came to my mind, your daddy loves you. And of course, I know my daddy loves me. He just says, "You know, Jerry, it's because I love you. I'm telling you, because if I don't tell you, who will?" I thank God that, you know, we're to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, and I want to have the kind of heart that submits to anyone telling me. An unloving spirit is a familiar spirit of the parent. It comes in through the parent most like you. Have you ever noticed if you have children, you have the hardest time with the kid most like you? Have you noticed that? You know why? Because you have this unloving thing working in you, this demon of Antichrist working in you, and you don't like yourself, so what you're seeing in that kid is just like you, so he's attacking you. And I believe a lot of times that the voice I'm hearing is the voice of my dad when he says, "Who do you think you are?" He used to, every time I'd get prideful, boy, he'd slap me down. not with his hand. He probably should have used the rod more and his words less. An unloving spirit working in you won't allow you to love yourself. And when I say love yourself, I'm not talking about an arrogant, haughty kind of love, but I mean with God's valuation of you. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It attaches itself to you through the parent's condemnation and rejection of the child. You know, if a parent's condemning a child, that's rejection, and Dr. Null teaches on rejection. But we allow it in because of wanting to measure up. An unloving spirit keeps you from seeing yourself as God sees you. It's at the root of all addictions. For every thought you have, conscious or unconscious, there's a chemical neurotransmitter, hormone, or nerve signal released in conjunction with it. The hypothalamus gland, and Dr. Noel could tell you more about this than I could. I mean, I'm going to have to read this because I haven't got it all down yet. But the hypothalamus gland is called the brain of the endocrine system. It controls and integrates the automatic nervous system in many ways and is designed to produce various chemicals, neurotransmitters, hormones in your body to cause your body to be chemically balanced. When you're at peace with yourself concerning God, when you're at peace with God, and when you're at peace with yourself. When the hypothalamus gland detects changes in the body, it releases chemicals called regulating forces that are secreted by the body to bring your body back into balance. Medically, I think they call that homeostasis. It's a medical term. The hyper or hypo means over or under secretion of chemicals, neurotransmitters, and hormones cause disease. Long-term secretion of cortisol will destroy your immune system. And it comes from not being loved perfectly, comes in through rejection, through abuse, and through fear. So when we don't feel good about ourselves, or if we live in fear, it causes if you're living in a fight or flight situation, your body produces chemicals, cortisol, adrenaline, and things that your body needs to perform in a stressful situation. But if you live in stress and you live in a state of unrest and you live in a state where you're not at peace with yourself, then cortisol will destroy your immune system. And then I understand that it also will destroy interleukin-2, which tells your T cells if there's an enemy in your body to attack it. In other words, I think interleukin-2 helps your T cells read a cell that's an enemy. And if it's an enemy like a cancer cell, it will attack that cancer cell and eat it up. But if you live in fear, anxiety, and stress, the cortisol destroys the interleukin-2, which keeps the T cell from reading the antigen flag on that cell that it's an enemy. And then with autoimmune diseases, it's when if you attack yourself, you're always attacking yourself, then it gives a message to the T cells that part of your body's an enemy, and it will destroy that part of the body. So God wants us to live in perfect peace. He said he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon Him. And you say, well, how does all this medical stuff have to do with you know, an unloving spirit? Well, when we don't feel good about ourselves and we don't see ourselves the way God sees us and we don't love ourselves the way God loves us, then we're in sin. And sin can throw your body out of chemical balance. Long-term secretion of cortisol will destroy your immune system. The pineal gland, or the pineal gland, how do you say that, Dr. Noel? Pineal gland is a gland within your endocrine system, and its most important job is to control secretion of serotonin. And when you don't like yourself, you have difficulty with yourself, you have self-rejection, self-hatred, then this gland takes the message from the hypothalamus gland and will not allow serotonin to be released. And so wherever you have addictions, wherever you don't feel good about yourself, you have a low serotonin level. And I've been told the best way to lose weight is to love yourself, not with an arrogant kind of love, but with God's kind of love. And I've been asking the Lord, how do you love yourself? And I know you're going to have to ask Him to give you a revelation of His great love for you, His spirit of adoption. Several things the Lord's already shown me since I've started asking Him. The Bible says, whoever loves discipline loves his own soul. First John says, if you abide in me, whoever abides in me means, it means repentance. It means the confession of sin, implying the change of direction, has come to know the love that God has for him. So it has to do with us submitting to His Lordship. And, you know, you're not going to be totally delivered when you leave here, because deliverance is a process. It's a lifelong process of like peeling an onion. A person with an unloving spirit can feel so insecure on the inside and sometimes come across so arrogant and so haughty. And so they can vacillate from self-condemnation to pride and arrogance. An unloving spirit has to be dealt with if you and I are going to experience the abundant life. Jesus said that we're to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and body, and our neighbor as ourself. And it's important, it's impossible for us to love others if we don't love ourselves with God's valuation of us. And Jesus said in Matthew 22:37 that the whole law is fulfilled when you love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and your neighbor as yourself. And the biggest hindrance to us loving ourselves is this Antichrist unloving spirit. It's an evil spirit that works in us. It's allowed to work in you because you think it's you. It is an Antichrist spirit because it contradicts everything that God says about you. God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that thing says you're ugly, you're a loser, you should have never been born, you should have been tall, short, fat, skinny. You know, I know people that were so skinny growing up that they grew up in Satanism, and they were so skinny growing up that their mother and daddy prostituted them, and nobody wanted a skinny prostitute. And so this person would eat gallons of ice cream to try to gain weight to not be skinny. You know, the enemy sets us up to not like what God created. If we're tall, we want to be short. If women have big busts, they want to be flat-chested. If they're flat-chested, they want to have big bust. You know, if our hair is one color, we want to make it another color. The Bible says, God says, you can do all things through me who strengthens you. The devil says, you're a failure, you're a loser. The devil says that you're defeated. You can't make it. God says, you're more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. The devil says, you're never going to win. God says, you always triumph in Christ Jesus. The Scripture says we overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. And we always leave this part off. And we love not our lives even to death. Jesus said, unless you give up your life, you'll never find it. But if you give up your life for His sake, you'll find it. And then it says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies. So it's likening you to a grain of wheat. Unless a grain of wheat in the natural falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, gives its life over to the soil, then it'll produce good fruit. Does God want you to go out and commit suicide? No. He wants you to choose His way over your way. His plan over your plan. His attitudes over your attitudes. God says, you have to be strong. I mean, the devil says, you have to be strong. God says, when you're weak, you're strong. His strength is made perfect, not in your strength, but in your weakness. The devil says, I'm going to win. God says, through me you shall do valiantly, for it is I who tread down your foes. The devil says, you've ruined your life. It's hopeless. You know, Moses was 80 years old before God began to use him. The devil says, you're too old. It's too late. God says, He has scheduled every day of your life before you were even born. You are His workmanship. It is never too late. Do not listen to that lie. The devil says, he's stronger. And God says, by me you can run upon a troop and you can leap over a wall. And that's the spiritual wall. You know, I've been walled in or felt walled in most of my life. Did you know you can jump over that wall? As that scripture says, you can run upon a troop and leap over a wall. You know, we wall ourselves in through isolating. Yesterday, Dr. Noel was teaching about how rejection causes us to isolate. You know, I came out of generations of Lone Rangers. My daddy's a Lone Ranger, my son's a Lone Ranger, and I've been a Lone Ranger. And so God is forcing me to get in, you know, when I could stay home by myself and never see anybody for a year at a time and be just totally content. My son's the same way. My dad's the same way. But I make myself do things because I'm not going to be that way. I need the body of Christ. Amen? We complement one another. The devil says, you're a defeated foe. You're down in the pits. And God says, you have been raised to sit with me in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. The scripture says, what time I'm afraid, I'll hope in God. And the scripture says, everything works together for your good if you love the Lord and you're fitting into His plans. Now, it won't work for your good if you don't let it conform you to the image of Christ and receive God's discipline. I've heard that scripture quoted so many times. Everything works together for good, those that love the Lord. Well, that's true, but Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed into the image of his Son. So God allows you and I to go through trials because in that trial, he's wanting to show you something where he can conform you more into his image, and that's working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You never come to the place where you're just kind of going to rest on your laurels and not going with God. If you do, you're backsliding. You've got to continue to go on with God. Every day that I live, I want to be changed more and more into His glory. And the last day I live ought to be the best, most spiritual day of my whole life. And when people come to the place where they quit pursuing God, quit working on their stuff, quit working out their salvation with fear and trembling, that is one of the roots to a depraved, reprobate mind, and one of the roots to Alzheimer's. You and I can never take a vacation from God. We can never come to the place where we quit going on with God unless we want a reprobate mind. And we want to end up someplace sipping Ensure and watching satellite TV. What a terrible way to live. What a purposeless way to live. God has got a plan for your life, and He has a destiny for you to fulfill. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. An unloving spirit tells you that just the opposite is true. It works in you to attack you and others just like you. It clothes you with the garment of cursing according to Psalms 109. It says, because they loved cursing, cursing came to them and entered into their body like water and oil into their bones. And that's bitterness. I know a girl who was having fluid retention. And as we begin to minister, she'd get angry at herself when she didn't perform, and she'd speak words of death over herself. She'd speak such lawless words that they were, it was like no fear of God. And God showed her that those things that caused her to speak out those words was the familiar spirit of her mother would just take her over, and she would start speaking the things that her mother spoke to her. An unloving spirit causes you to contradict, and it accuses you and contradicts what God says about you. It's a spirit that nitpicks you, and you always come up short, guilty, fat, ugly, failure. And so then you take a nosedive and you go find your thing to fix you, whatever it is. It deceives you into arguing with God over the way you were made. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to the man who argues with his maker over the way he was made. Isaiah 45 says, woe to you, woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the potter vessels of earth, will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you're making say, he has no hands? Woe to him, who says to his father, what are you begetting? And that's really what we do when we don't love ourselves and we hate ourselves. An unloving spirit has you convinced that if you speak out what you think others are thinking of you, they won't be so hard on you. In other words, I say I'm fat because I think you see that I'm fat, and if I confess it up front, maybe you won't be too hard on me. And what happens, it reinforces that demon in your life. It reinforces fat or whatever you're saying, because what's in your heart will always come out your mouth. Don't say I'm kidding. When you say I was just kidding, no you weren't. It's down in your heart, and what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. And when you think perverted thoughts, the Bible says out of your heart proceeds perverted thoughts. You know, you're a spiritual garden, and you've had good things planted in your garden. You've had good seeds planted, and you've had evil seeds planted. When evil seeds are planted, they're going to produce evil fruit. Is that right? When you plant a good seed, it's going to produce good fruit. Now, you never have to take care of the weeds in your garden, do you? But this wonderful, beautiful garden out here, I can tell you, it has to have work done on it. If you don't get the weeds out, the weeds will overtake the garden. So that's what deliverance is us dealing with the weeds in our lives. And thank God He didn't show us them all at once. We couldn't take it. And that's why deliverance, He said, I'm going to drive them out little by little, lest you become consumed or overwhelmed by the enemy. You know, sometimes you look at your life and you think, goodness, there's just so much going on in my life, it overwhelms me. I heard a lady give an illustration the other day. She said, I was riding my bicycle up the mountain, and she said, I'd look at the top of the mountain, and she said, most of the time I didn't even make it to the top of the mountain. But she said, one day I decided to watch the ground. And she said, I watched the ground, and I got all the way up to that top of that mountain. So just take a step at a time. God's not overcome. He sees the end of the picture. If you're trying to deal with a thousand things wrong with you, you've got to deal with step one. Lord, what is step one? What do you want me to do? Obey. Step one. Okay, Lord, what's the next thing you want me to do? Step two. Don't look how messed up your life is, because you'll be so overwhelmed you won't get there. Take one step at a time. He knows the way through the woods. Amen? And He's not the least bit distressed, and what He looks at is your heart. Man looks on your outward appearance, but God looks on your heart. And so when you curse yourself, you just give strength to these demons. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says, words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, but the words of a fool consume him. You can be eaten up by your own words. James 3:1-2 says, let not many of you become teachers, because a teacher, knowing that as such we will receive a stricter judgment. And this is the part that I want you to hear. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So that means I can tell my hypothalamus gland that it needs to produce, right? If I speak words of faith, Eichel Harmon, I don't even know much about what she teaches. I don't know if I would even receive everything she teaches. I don't know that I wouldn't. But she's got a message that I heard her teach, that there's 80 muscles in your face. And when you smile, it releases neurotransmitters, hormones, and things that your body needs to make you feel good about yourself. Does that tie in with praise? Does that tie in with watching your words to control your whole body? The Bible says the gates are praise. It's almost like if we praise the Lord, we can keep the enemy out. If we doubt, pout, do without, speak the words, we let the enemy in to our lives. It says in James that the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity, and it sets on fire the very course of my life. So in getting healing, you've got to go back to day one, even in the womb, and deal with words that were spoken over you that have set on fire the course of your life. And then it talks about the tongue being a rudder. It likens the tongue to being a rudder on a ship. The rudder guides the ship, right? If you don't like the way your ship's going, we've got to change the rudder. I want to say this too about for parents. And I look back and see how I cursed my son. I blessed one of my sons with positive words. He's my pastor's son. And my son that's dead, I cursed him. He's the biggest liar I've ever heard. He's this, he's that. Quit speaking evil of your children. Start blessing them and change the course of the life. Change the rudder on your ship to take your ship in the right direction. An unloving spirit is a deceiving, lying spirit. It's a spirit of hate. And Jesus said, if you're just angry, you've murdered. It's a spirit of self-murder. It's a spirit of legalism. It's a spirit of pride. And when you don't measure up, you become angry at yourself for your failure to perform. And the major root to this evil, self-hating spirit is the lack of proper discipline. And this ties in with what Dr. Null says is of rejection. A parent that trains up a child in the ways you go does not reject him. You know, when you think of discipline, you know, there's only one negative side of discipline. You spank the child if he doesn't obey. But there's hundreds of positive sides of discipline. which is the opposite of rejection. If a parent doesn't train up a child in the way he should go, he provokes him to anger and he rejects him. And all of us have rejection in varying degrees depending on how we grew up. But discipline is teaching a child manners. Discipline is affirmation. It's hugs. It's kisses. It's forgiveness. It's leading them, guiding them, protecting them, providing for them. As I said Tuesday morning, the animal kingdom has more love for their children nowadays than humanity. It's so sad. Normally, I mean, I don't see it at this meeting because I see parents causing their children to, you know, to discipline them, causing them to obey. But I've been to camps and had people in my seminars that their kids were just going everywhere and they were sitting there like, hello, you know, like they didn't even know they were there. That's not discipline. I had a little girl, I asked a little girl at one of my seminars once, I said, did your mother discipline you? She said, oh boy, did she? Said she slapped me up against the bathroom wall. That's not discipline, that's child abuse. Children love to be affirmed. I see children that misbehave, they're thinking, what do I have to do to get you to give me a spanking? How much do I have to act up to get a spanking? And only take, it may take just one time, and you may never have to do it again. But if you affirm a child, and I don't know what Dr. Noel may know what this says, but I used to, when my kids, I would take them to the pediatrician, there was something on the pediatrician's wall that said children live what they learn. If they grow up with criticism, they'll be critical. If they grow up with this, they'll be this. If they grow up with this, and that's true. You can affirm a little child and tell him how obedient he is, and you'll see that child try to please you. But you need to condemn him, he's a little devil. Well, he'll act like a little devil. My grandson, when I used to do my grandchildren all this way, and all of them are honor students, and all of them, I didn't make mistakes with them like I did my own kids. But one day my little grandson, when he was 4 years old, he answered the phone. I said, is this my adorable, good-looking, obedient, responsible, dependable, gifted, talented, smart, obedient preacher boy? And he said, uh-huh. And I can tell you at 14, he is everything and more. At school, just to tell you what kind of a boy he is, he plays sports, he plays in the band, he's all-regional band, he's honor student. Anyway, there was a kid at school that was, the football players were picking on him and making this boy pick up their trash. And this mother told my daughter-in-law, said, and your son stood up and said, y'all leave him alone and pick up your own trash. And so that's the kind of boy he is. He takes up for people that need to be defended. Proverbs 15:32 says, whoever neglects discipline despises himself. So if we neglect discipline, we despise ourselves. Turn to Proverbs 15:32. It says, the fear of, 32 says, he who neglects discipline means throws it off, becomes unbridled, rejects discipline, overlooks discipline. In other words, and maybe rejects discipline from his parents, or he's not disciplined. Despises himself, which means rejects himself, contemns himself, despises himself. To consider and treat himself as mean and despicable means to scorn himself, to slight himself, to neglect himself, and treat himself as unworthy. You see, in my life, my mother and father had a grocery store when I was a kid, so there was always an abundance of food. And see, that was my identification of love, is the only time that my family was together was at mealtime, and I loved being with my mother and dad. I always loved mealtime and bedtime because mom and dad were home. I love bedtime right now. I mean, I just snuggle up with God because, you know, if your parents model for you a picture of what God's like. And so if you felt protected when you went to bed at night, which I do because my dad was a protector, and at mealtime was the time we were together, and that was always a happy time for me. And so food became my identification of love. Whatever you're lacking would be something that you think you need to prove whoever, if you're living with someone, you know, to prove they love you, they need to do this, this, this. Mine would be, if I was a boy, would be cook for me. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. You see, parents through discipline need to teach a child to die to his flesh. No, you can't have five donuts. One donut is all you need. But see, my parents, because they weren't there, you know, they were working all the time. I was kind of left to myself, and so, you know, I might eat four donuts. Thank God it didn't make me sick if I did it today. Thank God for deliverance, huh? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. When a child is not disciplined, he doesn't feel loved. He despises himself. And, you know, you may say, well, I was disciplined. Well, maybe generationally this thing is coming down because your forefathers or your parents weren't disciplined. It can be a generational curse. But a child that's not disciplined despises himself. He has no fear of God because he wasn't taught that disobedience brings a consequence. He doesn't learn through discipline how to overcome. He has a low self-esteem, doesn't know how to do certain things because he's not taught. You know, I've had so many parents call me and say, will you take my son or daughter into your ministry? They're on all these psychotic medications. Did you discipline your child? Well, I'm sorry to say I didn't. And they've created a monster. And at the root of all mental problems is a lack of discipline. Last time I was here, there was a little child here that had ADD or ADHD or whatever, however you say it. And Terry Henley said something that I thought was profound. He said, my mother and daddy didn't allow me to have ADD. The other day, my granddaughter sent me a little video clip, and it was entitled, How to Cure ADD. And this doctor stands up with this white coat on, and he said, I would like to teach you my method of dealing with ADD. And he had these three little kids here. I don't know if I should share this. Anyway, they were all cutting up, screaming, throwing kick fits. And the first one, he went, shut up! The little boy, shut up. The next one, the other two were still squalling and cutting up. And he went, I said, shut up! To the second one. And the little third one looked over and he went, anyway, I don't know if I should have shared that, but y'all forgive me. It's not funny. It's not funny for a kid to have ADD or have something wrong. That's not. But you know, it's the parents' fault. And that's not a funny thing. It's a horrible thing. But you know, you could take a little child when he's real little and teach him that his choices would bring pain and correct that. And maybe there are such a thing, but when we don't discipline a child, we despise ourselves. And then a parent says this about the kid, and what he does is, he don't ever listen. He's lawless. He's rebellious. Or she's this way. She's that way. And what that does is it binds him and puts him in a prison. You know, there's been words spoken over you and I that need to be broken if we're to be healed. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if anybody out here has a family member that has ADD, please don't take that personal. But discipline will correct. God will straighten everything out if you obey His Word. And if you've got ADD or some kind of mental problem, it goes back to you need to forgive your parents for their failures in not training you up in the way you should go. And when you forgive, healing comes. It comes inch by inch or layer by layer. It may not come all night. It may take you a life. It's taken me a lifetime to see the things that I have seen about weight. And I know one of these days I'm going to have a ministry with help people lose weight because of all that I've gone through. You know, I was a depression baby. I used to have a fear of not having enough food. I saw that came in when I was in my mother's womb when she didn't know where she was going to get the next meal for us. See, I absorbed her fear. When a child's not disciplined, he doesn't learn to die to the flesh. And this compounds self-hatred. In varying degrees, he does not believe his parents or anyone else loves him. A child that's not disciplined is not motivated in varying degrees. He's angry at himself. He has unforgiveness towards himself. He's perfectionistic, even if you think he's the biggest slob. He's still trying to perform something right to be accepted. It opens a child up to autoimmune diseases because of the fear. He attacks himself. I know a man that's got prostate cancer. And it's because he's never felt like he was a man. In the womb, they said he was going to be a girl, his mother and dad. They didn't cut his hair till he was 5 years old. He had all these curls. He's married to a very godly woman, but he was never able to perform. And see, that area of his life, every other area, this man is an excellent performer in every area. Perfectionist in every area. Does everything just right. But in that one particular area was the area that he hated himself. He rejected himself. So what happens, his T cells see the prostate gland as an enemy and attacks it, and that's one of the roots to prostate cancer. Another root to it is being sexually promiscuous. A child is not disciplined, and he opens him up to addictive-type personalities. He rejects himself in the areas that his parents reject him. An unloving spirit in us will produce, in varying degrees, depending how we grew up, addictions, overweight, mental problems, bipolar, ADD, ADHD, schizophrenia, all mental problems, fear, anger, and the scripture that backs up mental problems is Isaiah 1 says, "Where will you continue in your rebellion? Your whole head is sick from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, and no one to press you out, bandage you, and soften you with oil." It says the whole head is sick, and that word is not that of a sick person, but it's a picture of a person that's been flogged in the head. Deuteronomy 28 says, if you go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, it says, "But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." And then if you look in verse 28, you'll see here's the curse, one of the curses. "The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart." Now, would you say that if a person is disobedient to the voice of God and his commandments, that he's full of rebellion? Would you say that? So the curse is madness. Now I want to read the dictionary definition of madness. It means indignant, choleric, marked by anger, ireful, cross, enraged, furious, incensed, infuriated, rabid, outraged, suffering from psychosis, psychotic, delusional, hallucinatory, mad, psychoneurotic, schizoid, schizophrenic, lacking in practicality, logic, or sense, unthinking, fallacious, tending to mislead, be deceptive, illogical, irrational, crazy, unreasoned, unsound, cloudy, muddled, without rhyme or reason, mental instability, disturbed, irrational, unbalanced, neurotic, touched, not of sound mind, hence not legally responsible, mentally incompetent, sick, deranged, unhinged, unstable, demented, mentally ill, insane, suffering from dementia, insane, mad, crazy, committable, psychotic, paranoid, raving, lunatic, schizoid, schizophrenia, schizzy, nutty, loopy. I could just go on. Now, that's the definition of madness. Now, some of you may say, "Well, boy, I was whipped with a bullwhip. My daddy and mother, they just beat me all the time. And I've had mental problems." Can I tell you that was child abuse? You were not trained up in the way you should go. You did not have the proper love and discipline. You didn't have the hugs, the kisses, the affirmation, the fellowship, the communication, the leadership, the guidance. Or maybe you just decided you just wanted to rebel and you didn't want to be obedient. But an unloving spirit can also open you up to fear, anger, unforgiveness, anxiety, stress, excessive talkativeness. How many of you have been around somebody that just never comes up for air? You can't get in a word in edgewise. Have you ever been around people like that? It's almost like they're talking because they feel insecure. It's a demon. Death, suicide, self-murder, self-condemnation, self-rejection, inferiority, torment, fear of failure, fear of rejection, misery, autoimmune diseases, cancer, compulsive confession, self-comparison, shame. You know, those of you who've been to this camp before, I shared that I came up for prayer for a skin cancer on my nose. Well, I knew nose has to do with discernment and judging, so I've been saying, "Okay, Lord, I've been repenting of judging people." 3 weeks ago, I finally realized I've been judging myself my whole life. I haven't been kind to myself. And there's some ways I maybe pamper myself, but otherwise, when it comes to outward appearance, I haven't been kind to myself because I wasn't treated kindly in that area. You have a tendency to treat yourself the way you were treated growing up. And you know, I can say this, I probably had my parents, even though they weren't perfect, and in this particular area was really the only area I can think of that they didn't do everything good. I mean, they were not perfect people, but I had a good mom and dad. They protected me. They watched over me. They told me the truth. They provided for me. They gave me affection. They told me they loved me. They hugged me. You know what I'm saying? But in that one area, my family's big idol is outward appearance. My daddy, the first thing he does is put his shoes on and comb his hair, and he's 93. And every hair is in place. The other day somebody said, "Did you know you look like Billy Graham?" He said, "No, Billy Graham looks like me because I'm older than he is." He said, "He's only 87 and I'm 93. An unloving spirit causes you to want to give up and give in. Hopelessness to change. So go out and binge. Take your whatever. I feel hopeless, so I'll go eat that whole cake and then I'll go to sleep because I'm depressed. It means fabricated person. It opens you up to fabricated personalities. I heard Joyce Meyer say one day, speaking of multiple personalities, she said, you know, you're on the way to church and you kick the cat on the way out and you scream at your husband, you tell your kids to shut up and you do this and you do that. And when you get out on the church parking lot, it's, "Hello, glory to God, how are you doing?" That's a simple form of a multiple personality, right? Self-pity, false responsibility, false comfort in food, alcohol, sex, and drugs, discouragement, despair. And for us to get rid of this evil spirit, we need to ask God. I started sharing this a while ago when I said, and I got off track when I was saying, "Okay, Lord, how do I love myself?" Well, one, you love discipline, because if you love discipline, you love your whole soul. That means come under God's discipline. Instead of just doubt and pout about it, you need to say, "Okay, Lord, why am I feeling this way?" and deal with it. And then come under God's control, because if you submit to His Lordship, you'll come to know that the love that God has for you. You make a decision to love yourself, and not with an arrogant, haughty kind of love, but look up scriptures that tell you what God thinks of you and start confessing those things. Somebody gave me one the other day, two of them, in the Song of Solomon. I'm His beloved and He is mine. And there's another one that says, "You're beautiful, my darling." And you know, the thought that came to me, Song of Solomon has always been my least favorite book in the whole Bible. And you know what came to me a few weeks ago? The devil don't want me to think of what God thinks about me. So he's kept me from that book. And so look up scriptures to see who you are in Christ. Love God's discipline and stop refusing God's discipline. Psalms 40 verse 5 says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. His thoughts toward me." And the next thing is, forgive your parents for not loving you enough to discipline you God's way. Now, I'm not talking about beatings. I'm not talking about child abuse. Forgive your parents and repent of your rebellion and refusing discipline. Forgive your parents for the negative words they spoke over you, and break those curses. Forgive them for their lack of affirmation. Recognize the unloving spirit. And this is so important for what it is, an evil spirit. It isn't you. It's the spirit working in you that you think is you. Repent of self-rejection. Forgive yourself. Accept yourself. Repent of anger and bitterness and hatred towards yourself. Break generational curses, because this thing comes down generationally. This thing works in my dad, and I'm the kid most like him. So that's why he's always critiquing me. One day I said, "Dad, if I could say one thing about you, do you know what it would be?" He said, "Sorry, no good." I said, "No, Dad, you're faithful. You're a faithful dad." If I had to describe my dad, I'd say he is faithful. He's been always faithful. But see, that unloving spirit. And let me tell you, God just told me, I've known this, but I really know it now. Every time I would go around certain people, I'd always feel like I was attacked. And then I'd take it personal. And I'd think, well, you know, they always treat me mean. And what the Lord showed me is that accusing spirit that is accusing you is an antichrist spirit working through other people to tear you down. The devil hates you. So you're going to be set up to wherever you go, that thing's going to attack you. And instead of taking it personal, separate it. That's not my daddy attacking me. That is an antichrist spirit working in him. Do you see what I'm saying? And so, but use those things. God, you know, the way I've been is I've come away thinking, now what is wrong with me that would cause me to get attacked like that every time? What's wrong with me? Something must be wrong with me. And now I'm seeing it maybe because something is right with you. The devil hates you. I told my dad recently, I said, you'd never talk to my two sisters the way you talk to me. They're not in deliverance. That's one big reason. The devil doesn't like you. He wants to keep you beat down and discouraged. And so separate yourself from that accusing spirit. And see, last time I went home after I knew this principle, I was just waiting for that thing to speak through my daddy. I was going to say, hey, Dad, did you know you're being a mouthpiece for the devil? I was going to say it in respect. Okay. Separate yourself from it. Break soul ties with the parent most like you and refuse to let it work in your life anymore. Amen? So stand up and let's ask God. What I want you to do is I want you to ask God to first ask Him to give you a revelation of His love for you. Ask Him to show you how much He loves you. And ask Him to show you who is the parent most like you. And maybe it was your grandpa. Maybe it's a generational thing. And ask the Lord to show you what you need to confess, who you need to forgive to get rid of this thing. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Show me, Lord, how much you love me. Give me a revelation of your love. Lord, show me every place I have rejected myself and why I reject myself. Lord, show me why I treat myself the way I was treated. I ask for the truth that makes me free. And then just repent of whatever the Lord shows you, and then just sit down when you're through. Lord, forgive me for receiving this unloving spirit. Forgive me for not separating the demon from those that I've been attacked. How do you say bye? Forgive me for hating myself. Forgive me for letting this thing stay in me. Lord, all my life I thought it was me talking to me. And Lord, it's an evil spirit. I thank you for showing me that it's not me. Forgive me for self-hatred, self-rejection, self-bitterness, self-mutilation, self-destruction, wanting to kill myself, wishing I'd never been born. I break all the death wishes. Did you know if you wish you were dead, that opens you up to a spirit of death? So Lord, forgive me for wishing I was dead. Forgive me for holding unforgiveness toward myself. This day, in the presence of witnesses, I forgive myself. Forgive me for being angry toward myself. Forgive me for having this idol, this image, this idea or picture in my mind that I've been comparing myself to, and I always come up short. Lord, that's idolatry. Forgive me for listening to the world as to what I'm to look like what I'm to be like, and what I have to do to be a success. Forgive me for being like a feeling like a failure. Lord, Moses was kind of felt like a failure on the backside of the desert. And when he was 80 years old, he moved out in ministry. So thank you, Lord, there's hope for me. Thank you that I'm not a hopeless case. Thank you that I'm not a failure. What is that saying? You're not a failure. No, you're not. I'm not a failure. No, I'm not. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for letting these demons control me. I forgive the parent most like me. I forgive my forefathers for letting Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, work through them and me. I just had a revelation. You know, we try to... we try to live up to the world's expectation for us, right? You know, we see all the models and everybody that looks a certain way, and we need to do this to this success and all this. Isn't the spirit of Antichrist in the world? And that's how we get it. We compare ourselves to the world's standards. So, Lord, forgive me for doing that and listening to that Antichrist spirit. Forgive me for perfectionism, conscious or unconscious. Lord, I don't have to be perfect. You love me if nobody else does. Lord, forgive me for fear, all kinds of fear. Fear of not being perfect. Fear of rejection. Fear of failure. Fear of not being right. Fear of not having the substance I need to keep me going. Forgive me for being addicted to food, sugar, pornography, alcohol, drugs, and name it in your mind that if I haven't named it. Sexual perversion. Masturbation. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for comparing myself with myself, measuring myself by myself, and being without understanding and being a fool. Forgive me for comparing myself to the world, the models on TV. I forgive my brothers and sisters and parents for judging me. And Lord, forgive me for judging myself. Forgive me for being too kind to myself in some ways. Too easy on myself regarding sin. But unkind to myself when I judge myself. God, forgive me for not seeking after wisdom, which is more desirable than anything. God, forgive me for comparing my image and likening you to a false God. God, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parents for their words of death, words of iniquity, curses and assignments they've spoken over me. I nullify and make void, cancel every word of death, every word of iniquity that I have spoken over myself and my parents have spoken over me and anyone else has spoken over me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I break soul ties with the parent most like me. In the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name, I cut and sever every cord of control linking my soul to theirs. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And in the name of Jesus, I cast out the familiar spirit of my mother, my grandparents, my father. In the name of Jesus, I cast out Antichrist, the spirit of the world. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to remove every lying, deceiving spirit that keeps me from seeing myself as God sees me. I want to share this. When I had this partner, and they were telling me how precious I was and what God said, and this voice came to me and said, "Who do you think you are?" Showed me that I had to forgive my dad for saying, "Who do you think I am?" Which freed God now to start speaking kind words to me. My whole life, I've been blocked from hearing any kind words from God because I had this issue with my father that was not confessed. You see, and when I confess that, God tells me all the time, every time the enemy starts to tell me something about myself that makes me want to go like this, God is saying, "But you're not that way." I mean, God is speaking to me because when I forgave my father for saying, "Who do you think you are?" the first thing I heard was, "Your daddy loves you." You see what I'm saying? So you've got to deal with mother-daddy's issues to unstop the whatever is stopping or blocking. So in the name of Jesus, I speak to my hypothalamus gland. In the name of Jesus, and I command you to bring my body into chemical balance. Because if I don't stumble in what I say, I'm a perfect man and woman, and I can control this whole body. Because I'm changing the rudder on my ship. And Lord, forgive me for speaking evil of myself and of others. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I command my hypothalamus gland to release hormones, chemicals, neurotransmitters, exactly like God created my body to function. I forgive my parents for not loving me perfectly, for rejecting me, verbal abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, and fear. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to remove all deception. Forgive me for not loving you with all my heart, mind, soul, and body. And my neighbor as myself. Lord, thank you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. I always triumph in Jesus' name. I overcome. I overcome. I overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. And I love not my life. From this day forward, I love not my life. I choose to give up my life that I might find it. That means I obey God. I can't do the things I want to do. And I choose to allow my flesh to suffer. Lord, thank you that through you I shall do valiantly. It is you who treads down my foes. Thank you that when I am weak, when I am weak, when I am weak, I am strong. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness, in my weakness, in my weakness, and not in my strength. Lord, forgive me for not boasting in my weakness. Thank you that you scheduled every day of my life before I was even born. Now stand up. Thank you, Lord, that I can run upon a troop and by my God, I can leap over a wall. Amen. Praise the Lord. Leap over the wall because you're walled in. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. You may be seated. I'm going to lead you in some more repentance and then we're going to cast out that thing. In the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for arguing with you over the way I was made. This day at 4:24. And what's the day? July the 5th, 2007. In the presence of witnesses, a thing is confirmed through two or three witnesses. And I confirm that this day, in the presence of witnesses, at 4:24, July the 5th, 2007, I accept myself as fearfully and wonderfully made. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Forgive me for cursing myself. Forgive me for being a fool whose lips has consumed him. Forgive me for loving cursing, which has come to me. Forgive me for cursing my children. I nullify, make void, cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse and assignment that I've spoken over my children. I renounce this lying spirit. Spirit of hate. Perfectionism. I renounce the lie that I don't have to be perfect. I forgive my parents that they neglected discipline. They didn't drive the foolishness out of my heart through the rod of discipline. I forgive them for not disciplining me properly. That makes me feel loved. Forgive me for despising myself. I forgive my mother and father for not teaching me the fear of God. Making me demonically fear you, God. You know, if you were afraid of your mother and father, that opens you up to a demonic fear of God where you run from God, right? But the true fear of God causes me to run to God. And so it would make me feel like God's going to kill me any minute if I had a harsh, stiff, stern, mean dad or mother. God, forgive me for having a low self-esteem. I forgive my parents for not teaching me character, not teaching me integrity, not teaching me to die to my flesh. I forgive my parents for doing the same things I did before they got saved and after they got saved, which would set me up to reap their junk. For example, let me share this. Say you had a mother and daddy and they were on drugs and then you get saved and they quit the drugs. And now all of a sudden they have a kid that's on drugs. Well, they're wanting the kid to quit, but they got to go back and take accountability for their sin to stop the reaping in their kid. But if their kid is knowledgeable of that, he can break the reaping and say, Lord, reap, let him reap somewhere else. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? Because there's a reaping going here. And as we take accountability, God stops that reaping. Okay, I forgive my parents for not using a healthy rod on me. I forgive them for not teaching me how to do anything, which has destroyed my motivation. Lord, forgive me for being angry at myself. Forgive me for attacking myself. Forgive me for creating personalities to cope. Forgive me for manipulating and working people. Forgive me for charming people with my charming personality that's masking over my insecurities. Forgive me for addictions, gluttony, rebellion, fear, unforgiveness, anxiety, stress, excessive talking, wanting to kill myself. Forgive me for murdering myself with words, condemning myself, rejecting myself, feeling inferior, tormented. Forgive me for fear of failure, compulsive confessions, self-comparison, shame, embarrassment, self-consciousness, having a defeated attitude, giving up and giving in, hopelessness to change, depression, fabricating personalities, self-pity, false responsibility, making fig leaves of food and alcohol and sex and drugs, nicotine, pornography. In Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take accountability for this antichrist, unloving spirit that's passed down on me generationally. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve? Let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any gram Satan's had in my life through this antichrist, unloving spirit. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. I break soul ties with my parents and all my forefathers. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And now you antichrist, unloving spirit, now that I know what you are and who you are, I command you in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus to come out of me and out of every person in this room. In Jesus' name, I break your power, self-hatred, unforgiveness of self, torment, fear, hurt, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, multiple personalities, discouragement, despair, hopelessness, self-pity, depression. I command the spirits that make them want to give up, cough them out in the name of Jesus. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Giving up and giving in. Come out. Defeatist attitude. Out. Self-consciousness. Out. Embarrassment. Humiliation. Shame. Compulsive confessions. Out in the name of Jesus. Obsessiveness. I command all spirits of talkativeness. Fear of rejection. Out. Fear of failure. Out. Self-contempt. Out. Self-murder. Suicide. Death. Out in Jesus' name. Spirits of excess. Spirits of addictions. Addictions to drugs, alcohol, nicotine. Addictions to sex. In Jesus' name. Addictions to dopamine. In the name of Jesus. Addictions to pornography. In the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Spirits of unforgiveness. Mental illness. Mental problems. Madness. Rebellion, bipolar, ADD, ADHD, schizophrenia, fear, out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Out, come out, cough them out in the name of Jesus. I break the power of anger and bitterness towards self, self-hatred. I command the familiar spirits of mom and dad, out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Hopelessness, go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I break your power. Every spirit that's blocking serotonin, come out. Serotonin deficiency, dopamine deficiency, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power, self-hatred, in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Unloving spirits, all the spirits, out. All spirits of rejection, out. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now I command their bodies to line up with what... with their chemical bodies to be chemically balanced. I command the pituitary gland to release dopamine. I command the pineal gland to release serotonin in the name of Jesus. I command the hypothalamus gland to bring the body into balance, to command all the glands to secrete the proper amounts of serotonin, endorphins, dopamine, neurotransmitters, neoepinephrine and epinephrine in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. How many? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. How many people were not here when I taught on addictions? Was anybody not here? I just wanted to share that we think that lust, some of you've got a pornography addiction, and I want to share this in case you didn't hear it when I said it the first time. People that are addicted to pornography, we think it's because of the lust in them. And I know in my ministry until a few weeks ago, I was going for the lust. But what it is when a person has an orgasm, their body releases dopamine. And so when a person's into pornography, 100% of the time they're into masturbation. And when they masturbate and they have that orgasm, it releases the dopamine, and that is the root to pornography. So, Lord, forgive me for pornography and wanting that dopamine rush. Lord, I ask you to give it to me now in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Now, when you feel tempted and you think you need dopamine, ask God to give it to you. That's what I've been saying. Oh, God, every day. Oh, God, release that serotonin. Release that dopamine. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am His workmanship. He loves me with an everlasting love. God is not a man that He should lie. He loves me. He has a plan. It's not too late. What times I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to move by the power of your Holy Spirit through every cell of every person's body. I ask you, Father God, to come now, and you're already here. I ask you to move through every cell of every person's body. I ask you to move into all the organs of their body. Move into their endocrine system. Lord, move into their mind to show them how much you love them, Lord. I ask you to give every person a revelation of your love. And Lord, I forgive my mother and dad for never saying anything good to me if they didn't. I forgive them. Now, Lord, will you speak to me and tell me what you think of me, Lord? Praise you, Lord. And Lord, I ask not just now, but as they leave, as they go eat, as they sleep tonight, I ask that you give revelation. You said light is sown like seed for the righteous and gladness of heart for the upright. So, Lord, sow seeds of light into every life. And Lord, as Clement preached, Lord, we thank you that we have your glory. Your glory is rising up in us in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you that you're restoring us back like Adam was in the garden, that his skin lit up in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to bless the food. We ask you to purify it, sanctify it. I ask you to bless those in the kitchen, all the workers here at Lake Hamilton. We just speak blessings, blessings, blessings in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and give you peace. I bless you with victory, success, overcoming. I bless you with liberty. I bless you with freedom. I bless you with revelation knowledge. I bless you with an overcoming life, a triumphant life. I bless you to be all that God created you to be. I bless you to fulfill your destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.